I know there's a ton of misinformation out there.
That's why we're going to let the man speak himself. It's the Score Afternoon Show. Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody here with you today. And you heard from Caleb Williams last hour. You heard from Matt Eberflus last hour. And now you get to hear from the big boss himself, the man behind the rebuild, the dude sitting extremely pretty, who also showed a beautifully human side of himself last night on Hard Knocks with Ian Wheeler at the end of that guy's Bears run in terms of health this year. And it was an interesting episode. But Ryan Poles spoke today about the cutdowns that got us to the first 53 of this Bears roster just a few minutes ago, and this is how it began. Ryan Poles on the cuts here on the Score.
So in terms of training camp, I want to just say thank you to our players for the time and effort that they've put in. I thought they've done a really good job. They came in with intent to get better, improve, build chemistry. And I thought you could see that through the duration of training camp this year. I want to thank our coaches and really all of our staff. We really press hard on development. And I thought there were some really cool situations where you saw guys come in as either, you know, a raw rookie or, you know, someone that wasn't playing to the standard of what we needed. And then by the end of training camp, they were in the conversation of making the roster, which is always good to see. Also want to thank our performance team, and really that's the alignment with Coach Flus. Our rate of missed practices dropped significantly for the first 2 years. And obviously with availability, that allows people to improve and get better and build that chemistry that we talk about. Also want to thank our front office. You can really see every part of player acquisition, if it's the draft, undrafted free agency at the very highest level to guys just coming in for opportunity at the, you know, minimum. They were in the mix and really, again, applied pressure when it came to making the roster. And really this year, by far, from the first 3 years, was the most difficult time whittling this thing down to 53. We had some really good discussions, a lot of back and forth, constantly talking about, you know, worrying about today, but also looking into the future. Because we're always looking not only just now, but also what's the roster going to look like? What are the situations not, you know, 1, 2, 3 years from now? So had really good conversations there, which was good. I think the other thing that I really learned this year is when you're intentional bringing in the right type of people, when you invest in relationships, you invest in time and bonding and creating this group and this culture, it makes cut down day extremely hard, emotional, because you care about the guys and you want to see them be successful. But you know, at the end of the day, there's business decisions that have to happen, and you got to get this thing down to a 53-man roster, which was difficult. But I'm really proud of where we are to kick this season off. Significant improvements, which again makes me proud of the work that we've done here as an entire organization. In terms of transactions that have happened in the last 2 hours, Carr is back on board, is in the building, and Patrick Scales is going to be on IR until he heals up. So I'll open it to questions.
When you look at the receiving room and the way you overhauled that in the times you've been here, you got here, it was pretty bare. You had Moon, not much else. His production kind of dipped. You took a swing and miss on a trade, and now you got the room that you have now, whereas maybe 2 years ago you couldn't find four guys you felt really good about. Now you feel like you maybe only need four guys. You know what I mean? How do you go about overhauling that, and how do you feel about that process?
Yeah, I think the big thing is there's a level of patience in there. One, because when you approach it different, if it's free agency or the draft, we really try to do the best available. And I remember that first year, that was a big question. Were you going to get a receiver? And we didn't have the first round pick, and we end up with Brisker and Kyler. And really, we felt like that was the best available, and we knew that it was going to take time to really get all the pieces. And there's still space for us to improve as well. So we're just kind of in this kind of second phase of things. But really, patience, letting the board kind of talk to us, and then being opportunistic, you know, with the trade, drafting Rome, there's a lot of cool things that happen. So, and we used every different kind of way to acquire that talent, which is great.
We saw Keenan was on the bike today. Is there any concern about his health?
No. He had last week like a cleat issue, so some discomfort in his foot, but he should be fine.
Brian, as you evaluate the season and look to measure success, is it playoffs in your mind? Is that the ultimate metric for you, or do you look at the roster development side more so and say that's kind of the priority for this year?
No, like, obviously that's my priorities. Let's get the roster in the best shape possible because that's going to give us the opportunity to win games. But it's always going to be to win championships, to win the division, win Super Bowls. That's always the goal. Obviously getting into the playoffs and winning playoff games would be outstanding. But I think the biggest thing is, like, can we take that big jump from where we were last year to this year? And I think we're capable of doing that.
You have that 53-man roster from what you inherited. What are you most proud of about this group and how they've come together?
Yeah, I'm proud of the process that we've set up. It's not just about acquiring the best talent. It's about acquiring the right talent. And I think that's what you see in this building. I think it's special. Like, the group of guys, it's really special. I know I've talked a lot about that, but even when you go through cutdown days and you're letting guys go and they're like, man, I just want to be here. Like, I can feel it. I want to be a part of this thing. So it's not like I always look at it and I'm excited about it, but when you hear from people inside the building, but also outside, it kind of makes you feel really good about the progress that you've made. But a lot of hard work, a lot of time in developing the process so that it's sustainable.
Brian, as you've continued both your relationship with Matt and your evaluation of him, what's left the strongest impression on you about how he's handled the last 8 months from overhauling the coaching staff to now getting this team ready to go into the regular season?
Yeah, I think his resilience for where our roster was and for how far we knew it had to go to set a standard and hold everybody to that is extremely difficult. To keep a team together through adversity is extremely difficult. But I think at the end of the day, that's going to be awesome. Is like those things will be established, and then when the winning comes, you have a stronger product because of it. And so really, I really look at the resilience piece of it. It's so hard with pressure to stay the course when you want to be, you know, there's a lot of noise in terms of doing different things and changes and all that, but to hold the line it takes a special man to do that, and he's done that. And then just the ability to adapt and adjust. You can see that on a daily basis. Always trying to get better. Taking the feedback from players, you know, what do we need to change? What do we need to adjust? What are you guys seeing? How are you feeling? And then making the tweaks. That relationship has been incredible. And then I probably had a third thing is it's kind of coming to me, but just investing in relationships. He's had every single person on our team over at his house to spend time there, to get to know them better. There's activities and things that he did, but that was done intentionally. That wasn't just to do it and check a box. It was to really invest in our players and build that trust because you need that.
You got a number of guys banged up on the offensive line today. We saw Bill Murray go off. How comfortable are you with the depth you have at that position?
This is the best depth I've ever had. Actually let one of the guys go on cutdowns and was like, man, you did an excellent job. I wish, you know, we could keep you here. He's like, this is the deepest room I've ever been a part of. So we have more versatility, more depth. We got 10 guys. So I feel comfortable. Obviously you want your starting five to be healthy and ready to go, but I feel more confident in the depth of our line than I ever have before.
Brian, we've seen a lot from Caleb on the field, but in the building, what have you seen to be the effect of his personality, of his social skills, ability to relate with others?
Yeah, it's fairly natural. It's not forced. I think that's one thing, and we've all been in teams before, but like, there's people that come into those situations and they try too hard, and it's like, man, that's awkward. You know, it's hard to buy into that. And then there's guys that just they can navigate that so naturally because they're authentic and it's real. And that's what he's done. And then on top of that, just as a professional player, like, you have to perform. You got to do some things that guys are like, okay, like there's something different about you. And then pair that with a good natural, just good social skills, some cool things happen and leadership starts to blossom, and that's what you see now.
What do you expect from him this year?
I expect him to – it's a great question. I want him to lean on the talent around him, and then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best. And I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability. And so I think that's kind of the big thing is just lean on the guys around him, be instinctual, let those wild plays happen at the right time. I mean, we saw it in the preseason a little bit. This can be important.
Sorry, back to the O-line.
Yeah.
How good can that unit be? You made some moves this offseason. I don't think you can point at it and say you put a ton of resources into it. Like, how good can that group be?
I think that group can be really good. In terms of investing in it, I mean, Darnell was a first-round pick. We traded for Bates, who has versatility. Peyton Nate, who obviously needs to continue to work on just his dependability and consistency. Coleman Shelton's been a great addition. He's a glue guy for the up front. His ability to get everybody on the same page and then execute at a high level has been really good. I think Braxton's improved, and Tevin is playing his best ball too. So I think that group has the ability to be special. And as the season goes along, and the beautiful thing is all those guys strain. And you can see that in the preseason too, just trying to keep Caleb clean. It's important to him, and it's a really strong knit group, so it's good.
Ryan, I'm pretty sure we've seen you on the field kind of mimicking Caleb's throwing motion.
You've never seen that.
I don't know what else you could have possibly been doing with that.
Yeah.
Was it fun for you? Was it a fun training camp for you to see this guy that you had scouted for so long and drafted and then brought here and then watching it in person?
Yeah, it's fun. But I don't know. I can't ever let my mind go too far down that road. It's always about improving. But it's good to see. Anytime you draft a player because of what you saw from college, and you see some of those things transfer over to the pro game, that gets you excited. If it's the other way, it scares the crap out of you. You know, it's like, where did that guy go? And we haven't had that with really any of our draft picks. Everybody has been as advertised or, if not, better.
As you try to grow Caleb into a quarterback who can be a game-winning quarterback with the game on the line, from your lens, what separates the best quarterbacks in this league in terms of the ones that are consistently productive in the fourth quarter?
I think it's really – I kind of say it's like their heartbeat. Like, does their heartbeat skyrocket in those pressure situations, or do you see this like calm? And we're not going to know until we're in it in terms of the pro side of it. But that's what I look for. I want the game to slow down, there to be a level of poise. And again, I'll go back to it's that same combination of taking what a defense gives you, leaning on your talent, and then when you're forced to be special, be special.
What did you experience with Patrick through that lens in terms of when you realized that he was that guy in Kansas City and in terms of what it did for the entire organization?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I know there's a lot of comparisons out there, but I don't know what Patrick's rookie year would have looked like. But I know in year two, you saw exactly that when the pressure went up, he was calm. And then when it was time to do something special, he was able to do it and connect. But I also think, you know, we probably don't talk about it enough. It really gave opportunities for special players to be special. And I think that's what took it over the edge.
Man, a ton there from Ryan Poles, the boss of the Bears, at the end of training camp when cuts have been made. Practice squad has been filled earlier today. Some players come back to the active roster. You're listening to The Score. It's the afternoon show with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Mark Grody. There's a ton of ways to go on this, and we want to talk about it with you at 312-644-6767. A willful Patrick Mahomes comp to a question there at the end. And the dream for Ryan Poles is that Caleb does what he saw Mahomes do, which was be calm under pressure and put his teammates in good positions. Put Tyreek Hill in position to do a lot with the ball by hitting him in stride, and that's what he wants Caleb Williams to do. A million different ways to go, Grody, but the way that Ryan Poles talked about Caleb Williams, it hit both of us as we're sitting here listening right between the eyes.
I like the way Poles said it better than the way Eberflus said it. Eberflus talked about him being a point guard. Get it to your playmakers, let them make plays. I countered with, no, I want to see the quarterback make the special plays. Poles said, lean on the talent, then when the time is right, do the special. And he even said, sometimes it's going to get out of whack. Those were Poles' exact words. Sometimes it will, but I like that enabling, because I don't want it to be in his brain, Caleb's brain, that he has to be conservative. And I get it. Like, early on, you don't want to go crazy and let everything out. But the fact that Poles wants to see exactly what we want to see. We don't need another quarterback manager in this town. So let him continue to do the special when it works.
Absolutely. And it's like Emmett in the Lego movie, talking about being the special. Like, he was the special, but he just had to, like, do the normal stuff and do the little stuff, and then you become the special. Sorry, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
I haven't seen the Lego.
Oh, it's so good. But anyway, the idea of Caleb just being able to fit in and use the talent around him and then let the goodness happen when it will, naturally, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, right now is such a good moment for Ryan Poles, because everything seems to make sense. Hell, the way that he talked about Eberflus, how when they start to win, it's all going to be stronger because it's built on a good foundation. Even that makes sense right now. Are we in such a good place in terms of Poles and the Bears because they haven't played, because it's all conceptual, because it's all off-season stuff that they have absolutely destroyed? Are we way out over our skis with optimism because we haven't seen them get their ass kicked, even for a drive or two in a game of consequence in so many months?
I mean, that's probably true, but Poles did say, can we make the big jump? I think we're capable of it. And what have all of us been doing? Everybody that I've talked to, the minimum, it feels like, amount of wins that people are projecting on the Bears, at least in this town and probably even nationally,
yes,
is 9. Like, that's the low number, it feels like. I haven't heard anybody go below 9 in terms of how many games the Bears will win this year. And Paul said it right there. He's like us. He thinks this team is capable of making the jump, which would be a team that is over 500 and good.
Yeah, that was a money quote. I agree. Quote, take that big jump.
Yes.
Unquote. That's how he's measuring it. But we can measure it in more specific ways. We'll take your phone calls and texts at 312-644-6767 as we talk about what Ryan Poles just had to say about the team, about Caleb, what the expectations are, about the roster where it is, about Coach Flus. Dial it up and get involved on The Score with me, Spiegs, and him, Mark Grody. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody here on 670 The Score, having some fun hanging out with you on your Wednesday afternoon. We got Shane, we got Tanny. If you missed Caleb Williams, you can go back on the Odyssey Rewind function, the Rewind on the Odyssey app, and hear it. Tanny's open with all the prints in there as the comp was delightful. I'm not sure Caleb got it. I'm not sure that Caleb realized that it was complimentary and loving towards both Prince and Caleb. He's used to being just a having to defend that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's not who we are, man.
He, you know, give him some time. He'll start to figure. He probably will go back. If he didn't get it, he will in a little bit. He'll go, what was all that Prince stuff about? And hopefully somebody in media relations can remember it and tell him about
it. I don't think he kissed the ring nearly enough, Tanny. This is your town.
So there was much discussion about this, on this side of the glass as that interaction was occurring, and he did not acknowledge the open, but yeah. I told Shane, I reminded him, Justin Fields says his open gave him chills when he first came on the show.
Oh boy, so we don't want that.
So yeah, maybe we don't want that, and maybe we want someone like, would Tom Brady be overly nice about his production. You know,
there's only one way to find out. Shane, book Tom Brady.
Right. I will do that. And Caleb Williams, if you missed our conversation with Caleb Williams from earlier and you want to listen back in the show, you can go back and listen with the rewind feature. Something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score and tap earlier today to get started.
That's how you do it.
Oh, that's how you do it.
No, you said audacity.
We want a quarterback that'll just expect that kind of treatment, right?
Yeah.
Who's not impressed or wowed. You know, he's like, all right, yeah, that's the standard. Yeah.
Right. Tell you what, Tanny, go ahead, try another open for him. I will bring it out to Hallis Hall, and I will play it for him. You like this one? You get it?
Do it during a press conference?
Yeah.
Caleb, baked potato? Baked potato?
Caleb, how are you? I'm the guy who told you to drop the duh your duh bears say bears.
Just got it. Simple bear. I'm just trying to make his life easier. He doesn't have time for the duh.
And now that I'm thinking about it, we shouldn't have done Caleb today. We should have just done Tevin again.
That's true.
We didn't need him.
Sure.
Well, let me see.
Tevin probably would have loved his open.
What's with the no Tevin on Hard Knocks, really? I mean, he's just in some of the shots, but are you talking to him much?
It's too easy.
Wow.
It's too easy. No, HBO didn't want to take the easy way out. Just put on the most entertaining.
Grody, are you distracting Tevin from being on the Hard Knocks camera?
I think what happened is they're like, we can't do better than what Grody has done with Tevin Jenkins in the past, right? Whether my multiple interviews with him, my multiple conferences, they're like, we cannot top that. So I get it.
I know it's a rookie's thing, but I'm kind of disappointed that Tevin didn't make the Woodman's run.
Oh, he would have had a blast.
Oh,
that would have been so much content.
I'm sad we didn't have Hard Knocks when Tevin went to Home Depot to get Christmas. That would have been a freaking
Now
bonanza.
Would be the time to do it, too. They're on sale. Get them right now. Send Tevin out. Grody, by the way, are you leaving something out? Did you do something to Tevin? Because normally he would be like very receptive of my text messages. But now when I text him, if I need like him to come on the show randomly, it's like, I'm watching the baby. Watching the baby.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I think he associates us with you and you might have done something.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I could go back and listen to the interview that Weider and I did with him. I don't think we turned him off in any way.
Okay.
No. But I have not had, like, because we don't have open locker room right now, I have not had one-on-one time with Tevin Jenkins since the OTA started.
Okay.
So Shane, I'll find out. Though.
Shane,
find
try
out.
To bribe him. Send him a Wendy's gift card.
Okay.
I mean, that should work. Take Justin is in Plainfield, wants to join us and talk about Ryan Poles and everything that we heard, that 13 minutes of exquisite, exquisite football genius from the current man of the moment in this town. What's up, Justin?
Hey, I did appreciate the Lego movie Emmett reference, by the way.
Right? The special, man. Grody, the guy needs to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to block out most of Bears history because it's been so bad, but under Emery and Pace and Angelo, it always felt like they're comfortable with beating the Packers, and like that was the end goal, and Lovey said we're going to beat the Packers. And my biggest takeaway from that whole press conference was he had a chance to kind of get away when they said, what's your expectations if we lose in the playoffs? And him saying championships, it just kind of gave me that feel when the Cubs went from lovable loser to Theo, and immediately it was like, no, championships are the expectation. And it's just so refreshing to hear that. And just curious on your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
This is why, for any professional team, you go outside the organization and you go grab somebody really smart from a place that has done it before. It's a tale as old as time. And frankly, it's why so many of us went ballistic the last five times that Jerry Reinsdorf has hired somebody from inside the house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To run the White Sox. Like, what are you doing? That's not how you do it. You do this, and if it doesn't work, you do it again. And then if that doesn't work, you do it again. Go get somebody very smart from a brilliant organization, give them the keys and say, please do what you have seen work to the best of your ability. And Ryan Poles is building what he saw Andy Reid and Brett Veach and others put together in Kansas City. And now he has found, through the magic of that Bryce Young trade and Lovey Smith's incredible work with the Texans to lose, to help them win that extra game, he has found his Pat Mahomes to be the cherry on top of the sundae. But clearly what he's been building here is trying to build a culture and collect people. Look, the way that they talk about
the humans that they've compiled, Mark Grody. Flus said the other day, they only get guys with good motors. That's all we do, is we go at guys with good motors. Cole Kmet talking about the specialness of all the different players. Everything the polls said. Kyler Gordon saying the chemistry is uncommon, right? It's like, clearly they are targeting the right kinds of humans to build what they want to build, and now they've got the quarterback to go with it.
I think that other GMs that the Bears have said similar things, but they haven't been able to accomplish it. Like, officially now, at this point, ahead of this season, Ryan Poles has had more pluses than minuses in terms of what, on paper, the Bears have built. I mean, if you want to go back to, like, Larry Ogunjobi, I don't think that was a big mistake, but that was an injury. The guy that they initially wanted to be their three technique. Obviously, Chase Claypool was a big mistake. And the only other area right now that I look at Ryan Poles critically is the center position, because they have the Lucas Patrick signing was not good. Sam Mustipher was not going to be your center, nor was Cody Whitehair. We'll see about Coleman Shelton. And by the way, Ryan Bates practiced today, so I don't know if this is a ramp-up period for Ryan Bates and if he could potentially be ready for week one. I doubt it. I do think it's going to be Nate Davis as your starting right guard and Coleman Shelton as the center, but the fact that Ryan Bates is back practicing is really good, because we didn't know anything about the injury. I was starting to think it might be serious for Bates. Apparently, it's not that serious if he was out there practicing today. And I kind of believe what Poles is saying, that this might be the best depth that we've seen with the Bears, and even predating Ryan Poles in terms of the actual depth on this offensive line right now.
The caller's point about it feeling like, you know, pre-World Series Cubs and Theo Epstein, a texter said it yesterday too, comparing that feeling. And obviously that's the most recent feeling in this town of like, when, oh wait, I think they, are we great? I think we might be great. Is it possible? Is this going to happen? And just having it be different than the past history, where you're used to so much disappointment. The difference in football is that it almost always can't happen unless you have the quarterback.
Let me ask you a question.
And this time, they got the quarterback.
Do you think right now Detroit and Green Bay are better than the Bears? I do.
I
think right now, I mean, you can't.
I do.
Yeah, Jordan Love scares the hell out of me just because of what he did in the Dallas, or what the Packers did in the Dallas game when they go on in the playoffs.
Jordan Love is a really, really good quarterback who learned a lot of the stuff that Caleb was talking about Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love learned it and is now doing it. It's funny you bring up Jordan Love. Jordan Love earlier today was talking about the Bears. Jordan Love is somebody to fear, and apparently he loves beating the Bears.
Favorite team to play against? Good question. I'll say the Bears. Two.
Yo, are you looking to become the new owner of the Bears or what?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Favorite team to play against the Bears and hopes to continue the Green Bay ownership.
It is on. I had not heard that yet. I love that he said that. Now, you know who I'm going right to next time? I'm going right to Jaquan Brisker with this. Right to Brisker, because remember, Brisker just had no respect for the Packers. When the Packers beat the Bears' asses last year in the final game of the season, after the game,
yeah.
I and a few other reporters listened to Jaquan Brisker tear apart the Green Bay Packers and saying that he's got no respect for their wide receivers, and he wasn't stopping. So I'm taking the... Tanny, I'm going to need that audio for Brisker as well.
Yeah, remember, too, they were talking about the game plan against their receivers in general. They didn't love the game plan the day after the game they were talking about.
Hey, man, right. I thought of that during polls, when polls said that Matt Eberflus takes the feedback. Yeah, Brisker talked about it. We talked about it with Jalen Johnson that next time we had him on about exactly that. They're like, come on, let us man up on these wide receivers. Let us try to shove them around instead of laying off of them.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And he's just thinking, because these are not big name receivers for the Packers, that Brisker's all over them. But that's the problem. They're not big name guys, and yet Jordan Love is making them look good and beat the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite a moment. It is quite a moment here. And Jordan Love, He has no idea what he just did.
Oh, no, he does. But I like that he did it. Oh. It's on. The game is the game. And it is open now, man. It is fair game now to push the Bears-Packers rivalry and in a genuine way. Did y'all hear what Jordan Love is saying out there?
Yeah, he wants
ownership. Uh-huh. He wants to invest in the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
How you feeling about that, George McCaskey? How you feeling?
Yeah,
I might ask George about that.
It's just too bad that Les Grobstein isn't around to comment on this, you know?
The puke green and the urine yellow. A lot of people can't KMA to Jordan Love and any of their other quarterbacks of the past. I go back to Eddie Lee Iver. Well, he was a running back. A lot of people thought he should have been a quarterback. Grobber is watching.
He's always
Grobber would have just gone off.
Just devoured
My God.
Jordan Love, a lock.
Jordan
to win.
Love, more like Jordan Hate.
He would have been a lock to win, and for that, you suck.
Tonight. Just. Oh, my God.
And also, bum of the week.
Bum of the year? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, you want ownership? I got something I want to sell you right now. It's my fist.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags, I got one thing.
You know what that is? That's bull porn material. Oh, excuse me, God. Bulletin board material. Bulletin
that was also off the air.
Oh, it was?
Nobody understands what you're saying.
I forgot it was off the air.
That's the way
we roll around here. Sometimes the on-the-air stuff, it feels just like the off-the-air stuff.
Grody, what do you think about bull porn for Pirates?
Oh, yeah. They were right down the hallway. They were in the alternate studio, actually, right next to Pirates for Porno. Or Porno for Pirates.
Uh-huh.
Pirates for... There are four porno, those Pirates are.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Hey, that Perry Farrell, different kind of feral, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Porno for Pirates. Yeah, I did say that.
A lot of peg leg stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So much peg leg material.
Jane's Addiction, come to the Aragon Ballroom.
Are they really?
Yeah, September.
Oh, wow.
Yep,
670 The Score is where you are. He's Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. He's got a comparison for me from a Bears team of the past. And did you guys hear what the Cubs did? We have to talk about this. Keep it here on The Score.
Area code 414. Again, this is a gloating Packer fan. And you know what? You know what all you can do? You can basically bend over, grab your ankles, and kiss your own rear end. Get comfortable sucking, Bear fans. Well, if you're a Packer fan, we don't give a darn what you say. If you are a Packer fan, your opinion means nothing. We don't care.
All right, Mark Grody, you've been teasing me with this comparison that you wanted to get to about the current Bears and a former Bears team from not that long ago, as a matter of fact. It's Speaks and Grody on the Score Afternoon Show.
It's a little bit of a thought exercise, actually. So something I just came up with.
Thought exercise.
That's my thing, you know?
What side do you want me to take on this debate?
This is from a creation put on X by Mark Potash, and he writes, the 2024 Bears versus the 2021 Bears, several upgrades from GM Ryan Poles from the roster he inherited, especially at the top. That's what Potash writes. But I want to go through these guys, and we could quickly say whether or not it's an upgrade. This first one's going to be tough for you because I know you love Bilal Nichols, but at defensive tackle, Bilal Nichols versus Andrew Billings.
I'll take Billings.
Yep, Billings has been really good. Look, Bilal Nichols had a really good first couple of years in the league, but kind of faded away. Good player, though. He's going to be around for a long time. At defensive end, well, this says defensive end, but Hicks was not that. Akeem Hicks versus DeMarcus Walker on your team.
Hicks, yeah.
Big time, big time. Here's another tough one. Robert Quinn at defensive end versus the outside linebacker TJ Edwards.
That's
tough.
I mean, the way that Edwards has played, that was Quinn at the tail end. And with Edwards, the upside and the value of the contract, I'll actually go Edwards.
Yeah, well, Quinn did have, what was it, a 19 sack season?
I know.
That's hard for me to dismiss. But yeah, man, Tremaine Edmonds was one of the best players on your defense last year. How about Jack Sanborn versus Alec Ogletree?
I don't know. What are these comps? These are not. What is the comparison here?
Well,
I don't get it.
He's going the players that are here and the players that were not. You're right. Right. Is this more convoluted than I thought? Is it not making sense?
It's not making sense.
Okay. Abort.
I'll take Sanborn.
Yeah. How about Duke Shelley versus Kyler Gordon? That's a better one.
Yeah. I'll take Kyler Gordon.
Kyler Gordon. Tashaun Gibson versus Jaquan Brisker.
Oh, my God. At safety. Yeah, of course.
Eddie Speaks. How about Rachel Ray versus Winston Churchill? Which one?
Am I wrong, Shane, that this is insane?
Yeah, it is a little bit
and by the way,
convoluted.
I'm sorry. I'll take Rachel Ray. Churchill's lasagna was awful.
Truth.
Anytime Winston Churchill tried to do the 30-minute meal, not even close.
Trash.
It took an hour and a half.
Remember that one time? That one time he tried to make a chicken fricassee, and instead he invaded Poland? You remember that?
Yeah.
Elijah,
thank God, by the way.
Elijah Wilkinson versus Doug Kramer.
I don't know. Hey, Doug Kramer made the team.
This is
he did. How about that?
They like it. I think they like
sure
Doug
they
Kramer.
Do.
Well, Doug Kramer,
I think he's going to get cut. As soon as Ryan Bates is ready to play, he's going to get cut.
Hey, Speaks, Willie Wilson versus Scarlett Johansson. Which one?
Well, George Brett drove in Scarlett Johansson 1 year 85 times. It's a great season.
Is
that the Willie Wilson you met? Or was it the other one? There's a lot
Kansas City Royals.
No, like, former Chicago mayor candidate.
Yeah, no, I thought you meant Kansas City Royals. And
Scarlett's insane, like, 480 OBP season, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Insane.
She was on all the time.
Is Doug Kramer the new Nsimba Webster or Simba Webster of this team? Like, he always is going to be there during training camp, and then you won't see him again.
Yeah.
He walks out the door, never to be heard from again until the next training camp.
Hey, look, Simba Webster's back.
Marquise Goodwin versus DeAndre Carter. What do you think about
Marquis
that?
Marquis de Sade versus David Haw. I'll take David Haw myself.
Hey, Speaks, Vin Diesel versus Angela Merkel.
Oh, no.
Randy, oh, not Scott's sister.
I love the Merkin family. Randy, Scott, and Angela.
Can you tell us the story of how you got Bilal Nichols on the show?
So here's the thing. Bilal Nichols, he was in a hotel, and I called it.
Oh, what?
You did.
Called the hotel, said, is Bilal there?
Uh-huh.
Bilal, you
Bilal,
there?
You there? You there? All right, man. All right, man. So I mentioned it.
I'm sorry about this segment. I apologize.
What are you apologizing
about? I should have known potash.
This is the best segment of the day. It's a show. We had Caleb Williams on. We heard from Matt Eberflus. We played 12 minutes of Ryan Poles, and this is the best thing we've done all day.
Real question. Daz Newsome versus Velus Jones.
Oh, boy, that's tough. Well, Daz, I choose Daz because he told us that Harold's was bussing.
That's right.
That's why I choose Daz.
Boy, did we
actually
love him.
Actually had Harold's chicken. It was bussing.
It was bussing.
We overloved Daz Newsome, man.
I wanted him to make the team so
bad. He was a fifth-round pick in Darnell Mooney.
I thought his draft selection was bussing
Well, we all thought, Darnell Mooney was a fifth-round pick, and he was really good. Daz Newsome's a fifth-round pick. He's got to be really good.
For anybody who missed it, the Cubs went up 3-1 on the Pirates and Paul Skeens today. Then the defense collapsed, and Kyle Hendricks got yanked in the second, and the Cubs were down 6-3. Then they were down 10-3. And then they scored 11 runs in the final three innings of the game. An outrageous comeback with six in the ninth and swept the Pirates with a 14-10 win. They've won 9 of 12 since Danny Parkins left the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a coincidence.
It's not.
The weight that has been lifted off Craig Counsell's shoulders is clearly massive.
Yes, I heard the interview.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you heard it.
No doubt.
That's why I thought Gabe's debut was spectacular.
Yeah, he did. I heard that too.
Mark Grody, great job, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. By the way, I can tell you this, that baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Tomorrow is going to be must listen on the afternoon show. I'm so excited about this. First of all, Dan Bernstein is going to be sticking around and doing a double because he's like that. So it's Speaks and Bernstein. But then I can tell you, there is going to be somebody coming here at some point during the show. And I can't tell you who it is. And I can't tell you what they're going to do.
Is it the guy that's performing at Wrigley Field tomorrow night with his band?
No. Oh, okay. It's frankly, for Score listeners, it's better than that.
Whoa.
It's better than that. You're listening to The Score. Go and check out Caleb Williams on the show from earlier. Coming up next after us, after me and Mark Grody are finished, coming up next is
Rami.
Rami Makhlouf.
I'm with the Mac on Friday, too.
The Mac is back. Yeah. Grody and Rami on Friday on the show. And Score Afternoons.
Hey, speaks Rami Makhlouf or Helen Mirren?
I thought Rami was great as the queen. I really did. Thought his movie was better.
Jakeem Grant or Travis Homer?
I'll take Travis Homer.
Yeah, good special
teams. I don't know
what
we're comparing.
Yeah, I don't either. J.P. Holtz or Mercedes Lewis? A couple of tight ends.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
For Mark Grody, I'm Matt Spiegel. Chris Tannehill is awesome, and so is Shane Reardon, and we had a blast. Good night, everybody.
I've got to get on a plane. Apologies to all for my lack of professionalism.
Go.
But family first. All right. Peace and love.